Chapter 5. Apostrophe, thought it to, when I went off watch, we was standing 6 hours on, and 6 off, at the boys told me, I says, that the raft didn't seem to hardly move, for the last hour, says I, though she's a slipping along all right now, says one. He give a kind of a groan, and says, apostrophe, I've seen a raft act so before, along here, he says. Pears to me the current has most quit above the head of this bend during the last 2 years, he says. Well, he raised up two or three times, and looked away off and around on the water. That started me at it too. A body is always doing what he sees somebody else doing, though there mayn't be no sense in it. Pretty soon I see a black something floating on the water away off to starboard and quartering behind us. I see he was looking at it too. I says, apostrophe, hat's that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he says, sort of pettish. Apostrophe ain't nothing but an old empty barrel. Apostrophe, an empty barrel. Says I, why, says I, comma, a spy glass is a fool to your eyes. How can you tell it's an empty barrel? He says, apostrophe, don't know. I reckon it ain't a barrel, but I thought it might be, says he. Apostrophe S, I says, so it might be, and it might be anything else too. A body can't tell nothing about it, such a distance as that, I says. We hadn't nothing else to do, so we kept on watching it. By and by I says, apostrophe I looky here, Dick Albright, that thing's a-gaining on us, I believe. He never said nothing. The thing gained and gained, and I judged it must be a dog, that was about tired out. Well, we swung down into the crossing, and the thing floated across the bright streak of the moonshine, and, by George, it was barrel. Says I, apostrophe, Dick Albright, what made you think that thing was a barrel, when it was a half a mile off, says one. Says he, apostrophe, don't know. Says I, apostrophe, who tell me, Dick Albright. He says, apostrophe L, I know it was a barrel, I've seen it before. Lots has seen it, they says it's a haunted barrel. I called the rest of the watch, and they come and stood there, and I told them what Dick said. It floated right along abreast now, and didn't gain any more. It was about 20 foot off. Some was for having it aboard, but the rest didn't want to. Dick Albright said rafts that had fooled with it had got bad luck by it. The captain of the watch said he didn't believe in it. He said he reckoned the barrel gained on us, because it was in a little better current than what we was. He said it would leave by and by. So then we went to talking about other things, and we had a song, and then a breakdown. And after that the captain of the watch called for another song, but it was clouding up now, and the barrel stuck right far in the same place, and the song didn't seem to have much warm up to it, somehow, and so they didn't finish it, and there weren't any cheers, but it sort of dropped flat, and nobody said anything for a minute. Then everybody tried to talk at once, and one chap got off a joke, but it weren't no use, they didn't laugh, and even the chap that made the joke didn't laugh at it, which ain't usual. We all just settled down glum, and watched the barrel, and was honesty and uncomfortable. Well, sir, it shut down black and still, and then the wind began to moan around, and next the lightning began to play, and the thunder to grumble. And pretty soon there was a regular storm, and in the middle of it a man, that was running aft stumbled, and fell and sprained his ankle, so that he had to lay up. This made the boys shake their heads. And every time the lightning come, there was that barrel with the blue lights winking around it. We was always on the lookout for it. But by and by, towards dawn, she was gone. When the day come we couldn't see her anywhere, and we weren't sorry, neither. But next night about 9:30, when there was songs and hijinks going on, here she comes again, and took her old roost on the starboard side. There weren't no more hijinks. Everybody got solemn, nobody talked, you couldn't get anybody to do anything but sit around moody and look at the barrel. It begun to cloud up again. When the watch changed, the off-watch stayed up, instead of turning in. The storm ripped and roared around all night, and in the middle of it another man tripped, and sprained his ankle, and had to knock off. The barrel left towards day, and nobody see it go. Everybody was sober, and down in the mouth all day. I don't mean the kind of sober, that comes of leaving liquor alone, not that. They was quiet, but they all drunk more than usual, not together, but each man sidled off, and took it private, by himself. After dark the off watch didn't turn in. Nobody sung, nobody talked. The boys didn't scatter around, neither. They sort of huddled together, forward. And for 2 hours they sat there, perfectly still, looking steady in the one direction, and heaving a sigh once in a while. And then, here comes the barrel again. She took up her old place. She stayed there all night. Nobody turned in. The storm come on again, after midnight. It got awful dark. The rain poured down. Hail too. The thunder boomed and roared and bellowed. The wind blowed a hurricane. And the lightning spread over everything in big sheets of glare, and showed the whole raft as plain as day. And the river lashed up white as milk as far as you could see for miles, and there was that barrel jiggering along, same as ever. The captain ordered the watch, to man the after sweeps for a crossing, and nobody would go no more sprained ankles for them, they said. They wouldn't even walk aft. Well then, just then the sky split wide open, with a crash, and the lightning killed 2 men of the after watch, and crippled 2 more. Crippled them how, says you? Why, sprained their ankles, the barrel left in the dark betwixt lightnings, towards dawn. Well, not a body eat a bite at breakfast that morning. After that the men loafed around, in 2s and 3s, and talked low together. But none of them heard it with Dick Albright. They all give him the cold shake. If he come around where any of the men was, they split up and sidled away. They wouldn't man the sweeps with him. The captain had all the skiffs hauled up on the raft, alongside of his wigwam, and wouldn't let the dead men be took ashore to be planted. He didn't believe a man that got ashore would come back, and he was right. After night come, you could see pretty plain that there was going to be trouble if that barrel come again. There was such a muttering going on. A good many wanted to kill Dick Albright, because he'd seen the barrel on other trips, and that had an ugly look. Some wanted to put him ashore. Some said, let's all go ashore in a pile, if the barrel comes again. This kind of whispers was still going on, the men being bunched together forward watching for the barrel, when, lo and behold you, here she comes again. Down she comes, slow and steady, and settles into her old tracks. You could a heard a pin drop. Then up comes the captain, and says, apostrophe oys, don't be a pack of children and fools. I don't want this barrel to be dogging us all the way to Orleans, and you don't. Well then, how's the best way to stop it? Burn it up, that's the way. I'm going to fetch it aboard, he says. And before anybody could say a word, in he went. He swum to it, and as he come pushing it to the raft, the men spread to one side. But the old man got it aboard and busted in the head, and there was a baby in it. Yes, sir, a stark naked baby. It was Dick Albright's baby. He owned up and said so. Apostrophe S, he says, a-leaning over it, yes, it is my own lamented darling, my poor lost Charles William Albright deceased, says he, for he could curl his tongue around the bulliest words, in the language when he was a mind to, and lay them before you without a jint started, anywheres. Yes, he said he used to live up at the head of this bend, and one night he choked his child, which was crying, not intending to kill it, which was probably a lie, and then he was scared, and buried it in a barrel, before his wife got home, and off he went, and struck the northern trail, and went to rafting, and this was the 3rd year that the barrel had chased him. He said the bad luck always begun light, and lasted till 4 men was killed, and then the barrel didn't come any more after that. He said if the men would stand it 1 more night, and was a-going on like that, but the men had got enough. They started to get out a boat, to take him ashore and lynch him, but he grabbed the little child all of a sudden, and jumped overboard with it hugged up to his breast and shedding tears, and we never see him again in this life. Poor old suffering soul, nor Charles William neither. Apostrophe apostrophe, who was shedding tears? Apostrophe apostrophe, says Bob. Was it Albright or the baby? Apostrophe, why, Albright, of course. Didn't I tell you the baby was dead? Been dead 3 years, how could it cry? Apostrophe apostrophe, well, never mind how it could cry, how could it keep all that time? Apostrophe apostrophe, says Davy. You answer me that. Apostrophe, I don't know how it done it, apostrophe, says Ed. It done it, though that's all I know about it. Apostrophe apostrophe, say what did they do with the barrel? Apostrophe apostrophe, says the child of calamity. Why, they hove it overboard, and it sunk like a chunk of lead. Apostrophe apostrophe, Edward, did the child look like it was choked? Apostrophe apostrophe, says one. Did it have its hair parted? Apostrophe apostrophe, says another. What was the brand on that barrel, Eddie? Apostrophe apostrophe, says a fellow they call Bill. Have you got the papers for them statistics, Edmund? Apostrophe apostrophe, says Jimmy. Say, Edwin, was he one of the men that was killed by the lightning? Apostrophe apostrophe, says Davy. Him? Oh, no, he was both of them, apostrophe, says Bob. Then they all ha-ha'd. Say, Edward, don't you reckon you'd better take a pill? You look bad, don't you feel pale? Apostrophe apostrophe, says the child of calamity. Oh, come now, Eddie, apostrophe, says Jimmy, show up. You must stay kept part of that barrel to prove the thing by. Show us the bunghole do and we'll all believe you. Apostrophe, say, boys, apostrophe, says Bill, let's divide it up. Thar's 13 of us. I can swallow a 13th of the yarn, if you can worry down the rest. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Ed got up mad, and said they could all go to some place which he ripped out pretty savage, and then walked off aft cussing to himself, and they yelling and jeering at him, and roaring and laughing, so you could hear them a mile. Boys, we'll split a watermelon on that, apostrophe, says the child of calamity, and he come rummaging around in the dark amongst the shingle bundles where I was, and put his hand on me. I was warm and soft and naked, so he says ouch, apostrophe, apostrophe, and jumped back. Fetch a lantern or a chunk of fire here, boys, there's a snake here as big as a cow. Apostrophe apostrophe, so they run there with a lantern, and crowded up and looked in on me. Come out of that, you beggar. Apostrophe apostrophe, says one. Who are you? Apostrophe apostrophe, says another. What are you after here? Speak up prompt, or overboard you go. Snake him out, boys. Snatch him out by the heels. Apostrophe, I began to beg, and crept out amongst them trembling. They looked me over, wondering, and the child of calamity says, a cussed thief. Lend a hand and let's heave him overboard. Apostrophe, no, apostrophe, says Big Bob, let's get out the paint pot, and paint him a sky blue all over from head to heel, and then heave him over. Apostrophe, good, that is it. Go for the paint, Jimmy. Apostrophe, when the paint come, and Bob took the brush, and was just going to begin, the others laughing and rubbing their hands, I begun to cry, and that sort of worked on Davy, and he says, apostrophe vast there. He is nothing but a cub. I'll paint the man that touches him. Apostrophe apostrophe, so I looked around on them, and some of them grumbled and growled, and Bob put down the paint, and the others didn't take it up. Come here to the fire, and let's see what you're up to here, apostrophe, says Davy. Now sit down there, and give an account of yourself. How long have you been aboard here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not over a quarter of a minute, sir, apostrophe, says I, how did you get dry so quick? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't know, sir. I'm always that way, mostly. Apostrophe, oh, you are you? What's your name? apostrophe, I weren't going to tell my name. I didn't know what to say, so I just says, Charles William Albright, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, then they roared the whole crowd. And I was mighty glad I said that, because maybe laughing would get them in a better humor. When they got done laughing, Davy says, it won't hardly do, Charles William. You couldn't have growed this much in 5 years, and you was a baby, when you come out of the barrel, you know, and dead at that. Come, now, tell a straight story, and nobody'll hurt you, if you ain't up to anything wrong. What is your name? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Alec Hopkins, sir. Alec James Hopkins. Apostrophe, well, Alec, where did you come from, here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, from a trading school. She lays up the bend yonder. I was born on her. Papa's traded up and down here all his life, and he told me to swim off here, because when you went by he said he would like to get some of you to speak to a Mr. Jonas Turner, in Cairo, and tell him apostrophe, oh, come. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, sir, it's as true as the world. Pappy says apostrophe, oh, your grandmother. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they all laughed, and I tried again to talk, but they broke in on me and stopped me. Now, looky here, apostrophe, says Davy, you're scared, and so you talk wild. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.